Okay, continue where we left off yesterday. We got involved in all the infertility issues with the issues that are involved in them. Okay, now in Shchunar, the Gemara says basically, we learned out from Avraham Avinu, that Avraham Avinu, it says after married to Sarah for 10 years and there were no children, so then he married Hagar. You're number 10. You have to leave? When do you have to leave?
I'll say.
Okay? Thank you. So the Pasuk says that after 10 years that Avram was married with Sarah, so he married Hagar. Now, the problem is, if you can't have two wives, so what do you do? So in Kitzur, he says, Yeshle Lagarsha, you should divorce her and marry another woman. Other places it says, but it's interesting, in Ibn Ezra, there are more rights, it's not done today. We know it's not done today, And in other places it says you should try to raise an orphan, because then if you raise an orphan, it's considered like your own son, and something like that. But the bottom line is that halacha in today, they don't do that.
Now, Sarah allowed Abraham to marry.
She encouraged him. And then she regretted it.
What if a wife says, no, you're not allowed to?
In other words, in a case where a husband would be allowed to marry a second wife, and the first wife says no, he's allowed to anyway, because he has to do a mitzvah per vu. He has a mitzvah to have children. She can't stop him from doing
so
a mitzvah.
It's not up to the vu.
No.
But if they have children, he wants.
Halachically, she cannot stop her. Stop him. Halachically, she cannot stop him. I'm not saying they should or shouldn't. They should go for counseling. But halachically, in the time of the Gemara, it was very complicated because there's no communication. Anybody that traveled to a different country or even, you know, many of them would have wives in different cities. Not to cheat on his wife, just he had a wife in a different city. So then the Shaila was, the Gemara talks about this. One woman in a different city had a child that nobody knew about, and then the kid comes after the father dies and said, I'm a child. There's a whole din in the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch. What happens if one brother says, yeah, he's our brother. Another brother says, no, he's not. There's all, what do you do with the inheritance? The Gemara says, and Halacha says exactly what the situation is. But, it's not so simple. Years ago, they used to have different wives because they didn't want to get with the Yetzer Hara, you know, so they would marry different women in different cities. And they were allowed to do it. Okay. So then there was an interesting question. Can two Ashkenazic women marry a Sephardi man? In other words, the fact of not having two wives, does that apply to Ashkenazic also? Can two women have one husband? No, one husband is two wives, but they're Ashkenazi. So is Chem Rabbein Geshen applied to them or not? So it's an argument. Some people say that it applies even to the women. The women also can't be, you know, have a husband with two wives and so on and so forth. Okay, next. A person should marry a woman from a proper family, and there's three signs that the Gemara says, which Chanor brings down, is a sign for a Jewish, proper Jewish family. By Shanim, they have shame. Rachmanim, merciful people. Ugemli, chavsadim, and kind people. That's the family that a person should, halachically, should marry into each other. Now, in halacha, it says a person should try to marry a bas talmud chacham, or a daughter of righteous people, and, you know, prominent people, people that give tzedakah, people that do all good things. And then it says, that's not relevant. Okay, that's it. So in other words, it says like this, a person should not believe it or not, Talacha says it. You shouldn't marry for money. Gemara says if you only marry for money, you're not going to have proper children. That's what it says in the Gemara, Shulchan Aruch, meaning that we'll see in a second. Okay, now, a kosher woman that you're marrying her for her midas, and she also happens to have money, that there's nothing wrong with, okay? But if he waits until, you know, it's like in the frum world, many times they have what's called nadin, dowry. So I don't know if it works so much nowadays. Very good bachrim in the Litva, in Bechsim, they never had this. In the Litvish yeshivas, a very choshev bachur would have a price tag on him. You want to make a shidduch with him? I'm talking about years ago. You'd have to give $100,000 dowry to the boy that he can sit and learn. 150, it depends how good the boy was, how choshev he was. And then it was a lot of issues with that. In the Chassidic world, they didn't do it because, whatever, there wasn't...
they didn't marry. The first year, one family supports the couple, correct?
Didn't have to be. Not all people were able to do it. If the couple had money, if the in-laws or the parents had money on their own, they would suggest to support the kids. You couldn't force them to do it.
No force.
In many places, people support the kids.
For the first year.
First year. Sometimes people that like to learn in Kollel 10 years. It's not Chabad style. But they'll support them for 10 years or help them out at least. I mean, yeah, whatever. Okay. It says, whoever marries a woman for money is not going to have proper children. He's not going to be successful. His zivak, the shidduch, won't be good because, you know, whatever he takes properly from the in-laws or outlaws, you know, whatever he takes, he should take properly and not ask for more money and things like that.
What about vice versa?
What do you mean?
Marrying a man for the money. It was for a woman.
Definitely.
The same thing.
Same thing. Let me tell you something. Somebody who marries a boy for money, let's say, or a girl for money, yeah? Money comes and goes. Right? Fact is, money comes and goes. So a guy can marry a girl who's very wealthy and they promise him who knows what, and that's all the reason he's really marrying her, or the girl's marrying the boy because he has a lot of money. And what happens when the money is gone? It's over. Right? It's bottom line. It's over because there's no essential relationships, no essential love there. It's money.
She's used to comfortable life.
Enochanami. So it's a problem. Okay. Okay, now there's a very interesting thing. It happens later too much. What happens if a shidduch is broken off? Not the chasana. Shidduch is broken off. So then, there's a lot of issues involved in it. The question is, did you write Tinoim? Many people, they get married instead of a L'chaim or a Vart, they actually write Tinoim. That used to be like that, the custom all over the place. You used to write Tinoim, what? Tinoim are the conditions of the marriage. Now we, in our circles, we do it right under the chuppah. They fill out the Tinoim, they fill out the Ksuba.
Before.
And then it says, they write how much money they promise each other and how it was going to pay wedding.
Okay.
Then the din is, there's an interesting halachas about that. In that case, sometimes, rather than break tenoim, to break the engagement, according to many opinions, they should get married and get divorced rather than break tenoim. That's how powerful tenoim is. Not a mazalik thing to break tenoim. So in our circles, it doesn't happen because many places, they write the tenoim, even in the frum world generally, the Ashkenazic world today, they don't write tenoim earlier. Before the chuppah, you know, you sit down, you write the ksubah. So right before the ksubah, they write the tenoim, and they sign it, and do all the things. And the tenoim are null and void as soon as the chuppah happens. Because then, God forbid, if it breaks up. Okay. Now, there's another issue. What?
What's so unique about the tnoim?
Because it's a bond that you committed yourself to do something. So that's what it says in Sfarim. Now, what happens if a person breaks a shidduch? And for instance, what are the reasons you're allowed to break a shidduch? Besides that, then they're not compatible. Okay, that. But for instance, I'll give you an example. What happens if a kala lied about her age? She said she was 28 and she was really 38. Now, the chances of a 38... No, I'm telling you, I'm reading from the Chacham Sefer, I mean, all the...
You gotta shoot the boy if he doesn't know the difference.
No, some people look young. Anyway, so then, that is a reason to break off a shidduch. Why? Because 28, you can have kids. 38, the clock is almost over. So it's much more difficult to have kids. So it's not stam a lie. It's a lie in essential part of the marriage. He wants to have kids.
Major.
It's a major part of the marriage. So then, sometimes, and that's why by some lachaims they make a kinyan. The chosin kal make a kinyan with a handkerchief. Sometimes they don't. And the difference is, if you make a kinyan with each other, basically by the lachaim, you know, by the engagement party, you pick up in front of two witnesses. He picks up a handkerchief. I'm binding myself to marry her. She picks up, I'm going to marry him, right? So then, if there's a kinyan, they break up, there's a whole issue in halacha, they need to ask mechila from each other. Now you need to ask mechila, according to the Rebbe, it should be biksav, it should be in writing. And there's some even more details with that. If you break off a shidduch, there are cases that people had later problems in life, no children or whatever, difficult in marriages, and they wrote to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe answered. I know cases that I know for individual people, but I know cases that happened that the Rebbe answered them. Did you ever hurt the boy or girl in a shidduch date or in going out in a shidduch? Was there ever an ill feeling that happened between them?
At what state?
What? No, not the first date.
No, obviously.
But I'm saying there are people that are getting pretty serious. And then the last minute they say, you know what, it's not for me. That happens a lot, okay? So now the question, the other person, you know, you led me on. We're going out, I'm thinking, it's happening, it's not happening. So then you mamish have to do a mechila properly, sometimes even with a rav, you have to write it, then it has to be even writing, and you ask him forgiveness, and they ask forgiveness. It's a whole complicated issue. Thank you.